Everybody, welcome to Robin's 365. It's day number 2060. So today, this morning, I have been working the last 3.5 hours pretty much just at my desk. Had a few client reschedules this morning, so it's given me this block of time to do this work. So I thought, all right, still, the day's only just getting started for most people, and I've already done a bunch of work, and I can feel my back starting to seize up a little bit. Oh, right, I'll get out, I'll do a quick lap of the block and go back to some very focused time. And look, I often describe what I've gone through with my daughter over this, heading up to next month. It's going to be the end of the month. It will be 12 months since I lost my daughter, and gosh, it's gone fast in some ways. And so, like, so much has gone on over that 12 months. I often describe how I'm dealing with everything as like the ocean. Like, some days I have this vision in my mind of my happy place, if you like, where I'm in Port Douglas, and I am sitting under a palm tree looking out to Four Mile Beach, and the waves are, so I'm on the sand, and the waves are just, well, there aren't any waves, but the water is just kind of just, you're just lapping up against the edge of the sand, almost just like little breaths in, and it's just like, it's so peaceful, and it's just so calming and relaxing, and it's about 25 to 27 degrees, and it's just beautiful. And that's what it's like sometimes. I can just think of all the beautiful things that I did with my daughter and did with her sister, and like even her mum as well. And there's nothing but, you know, joy, peace, happiness. And then there are other days when the ocean is like a tsunami, and I don't know if you've ever seen any footage of tsunamis, but if you liken it to, say, what happened in Thailand on Boxing Day all those years ago, where you're like in paradise, and then all of a sudden, in a matter of moments, it's turned into this huge tide of pain, destruction, and absolute terror. And that's what the emotion is like sometimes with my daughter Liv, and that's what it was like this morning. And it's just hard to explain, like, just like that tsunami back on Boxing Day just came from nowhere. And maybe it wasn't a tsunami this morning, maybe not a complete tsunami, but there are moments when the sadness is so much. And part of the reason why I'm also coming out for a walk to kind of just reset. And it's something that you can't switch off, and you can't really control when it's going to come and stuff. And I just have to accept it and know that it will come from time to time. And it's not a space that I don't live there, but it does. It's just always there. But I choose not to live in that sadness. But it just comes. And yeah, there are moments where you feel, what if you'd done this, what if What if this had happened? What if they'd listened? What if people didn't do this, but they did this instead? You know, what if you didn't get bullied? What if she was more resilient? What if we had have known all of these different things at point ABC? You know, what if? But of course, you can't live in that place because we can't turn it back. But only if you could, how things would be very, very different. And I think about what she's doing now. It's because of her that I'm driven to do these other things. And it's because of her that $50 million was provided. It's because of her that these incredible changes are happening. And I'm having a meeting tomorrow with decision makers that will potentially grant funding, federal funding, for a program that will help kids in their home become better, be able to cope with what is going on in their lives with respect to tackling this eating disorder, with people that can support families, can relate to kids. And it's a program that I'm confident would have saved my daughter's life, would have saved Liv's life. And it doesn't exist. It remains unfunded, and I'm determined to do what I can in this presentation tomorrow to help people hear what is possible, what is required, and the change that's needed. And it's because of Liv that I'm having this conversation at a federal level to get people to listen. And I don't know, honestly, how I will hold it together tomorrow. I'm sure I will. But, you know, like when I was doing that Channel 9 interview a couple of weeks ago, when you go to those deep, dark places, which I just choose not to go to very often, because I've been down there in the times when she passed. And there's nothing there except pain and hurt. And I just choose to deal with it in a way that allows the grief to kind of wash over, but also not live there for Liv's sake. And knowing that she would want me to focus on the good sides of where she is. It's just a horrible place. It's a horrible place to be put in. And yet, I know on one hand, life is very short and one day we'll be together again. But there's so much living to be done in between now. And I wanted to be living so much of that with her. And there are... there are funny moments that happen that I think, what would Liv say here? What could we be laughing about? Think about moments when we were both laughing so much, just her and me, laughing so much to tears because of certain things that we would see or watch on TV or we would talk about and just laugh and laugh and laugh. And it was so cool. And yet we don't get to share those anymore, and so it's trying to hang on to all of those great memories and allow those to completely flood you, as opposed to thinking about the alternative. I have spent a lot of time over many years conditioning myself to focus just on the positive side of everything. and not the negative side. There are just times when all the stuff with her just, it becomes too much for moments of time. So I just miss her so much. And there are some days where I miss her more than others. It just becomes really, really strong. I'm sure you can appreciate what I'm talking about. I hope you never have to go through it yourself. And we just have to find ways, don't we, to deal with all the challenges that we're facing in our lives. This is just another one of them. And I guess there's an important part of acknowledging feelings. I'm not a counsellor, but I've worked very hard for many years dealing with I guess, the trauma and things that have gone on in my life. To know that you can't ignore feelings, you can't ignore emotions. They're not wrong, they're feelings that you have. And I think what's important about all of that is to allow the feelings to come. Deal with them. And certainly if I feel that a lot of this stuff is starting to perhaps control my day-to-day living, then that's when I need to get professional help and help me deal with it. I guess it's just normal, but from time to time, those feelings come, and I feel like I manage it, but you can't remove it, so you have to learn to manage it. But I can't undo it. Can't eliminate it. I can't turn back time yet. Maybe we will one day. So we need to be able to find the ways to manage the challenges that exist in our life. And I think this is the difference between perhaps me and someone else. It would be easy to stay in a place of sadness. It would be easy to stay in that place of whatever your challenge is. I'm just going to open my door. Go back inside. It's a bit windy and cold out here. I've done my lap. It would be easy to just stay immobilized and not manage and deal with the challenges that we face in a way that it keeps moving us forward. And as I refuse, just absolutely refuse to stay immobilized, refuse to stay in that place where I don't continue to grow, I don't continue to bring out the best of me. I spent a lot of time alone as an adolescent. There was a lot of negativity, self-talk from me to myself. I guess that's what self-talk is, Rob. And through that, in the years that followed, I grew through the pain to say, well, stop staying where you are and do what you can control to make you a better version of you. And once I did that and I created that hunger for myself to just improve and also become a better person, I don't think I was a great kid in terms of how I spoke to myself, perhaps how I spoke to others as well. I don't feel good that I was as a good person as I could have been. And maybe that was because I was bullied and then I felt like I wanted to seek revenge and stuff, but just didn't know how to or something, I don't know. But it just didn't feel great. And so I guess I'm now spending my life from like later adulthood into where I am now to just be a better person, get better outcomes for me, get better outcomes for everybody else as well. And there are just moments where I feel like I failed. I failed my daughter. And what's the definition of failure? Well, I didn't save her life. You know, I couldn't do everything to save her, even though I felt like I was trying as much as I could with maybe the tools and the abilities that I had to try and save her. Ultimately, I couldn't save her. And that's something I have to live with. People will have different views as to whether I did everything or whether I didn't. I have people that still blame me for it. Medical professionals that will blame me for her whole illness and her subsequent passing. And I have to live with that as well. So, you know, they're just, I don't know, they're just tough days. And I think you, when you can get to that point where you know that you're living your life the best possible way, you're bringing out the best version of yourself every day, you're growing every day, you're focusing on putting more great things out into the world. Like if you disappeared from this planet right now, would the place be a better place than when you got here? Well, I think in my case, certainly with the work that I'm doing and the impact that I've had and am having on people, definitely, I think people are better for me being in the world than not being in the world. I come from a very, very generous, loving, caring place, and I think I've done some really great work out there. And so I think if we can continue to do that and continue to contribute and contribute to live in a way that just treats human beings as human beings and as the way that we want to be treated. And I mean, gender doesn't matter. Gender identification, none of that to me really matters, because it's how we interact together as humans. If you want to identify as something, then that's fine. I'm more interested in getting to know you as a human being and understand you as a human being and be kind to you as a human being. So, yeah, that's today for me. And I'll tell you another reason I knew I needed to step away from my computer. I accidentally deleted from my customer relationship database 50, so it's exactly 50 because it was a page. I deleted a page of my latest data of clients, all their history, everything. I was like, oh no. And I was about to delete more because I thought I was on a different page number in my database. I was on cleansing some data, and I deleted my most recent. So I had to reach out to the support people, and they're brilliant. The support team's brilliant. They within 60 seconds of me doing it, reached out to them, and they provided me with the details of what I need to do to get the data rolled back, but it could take up to 5 days. Now, they're pretty quick, so I reckon they will do it quicker than that. But so, all right, it's time to stop doing the work on that. Step away from your desk so you don't do anything else stupid as well. And let's move on to a different task. So that's why I'm talking to you right now. So on that note, I don't want your takeaway message here to feel sorry for me. I don't tell you these things to feel sorry for me. We all have challenges. And the idea of this podcast is to just talk about the different things that are going on in my life. There's no one else in the world recording this stuff every single day and have done it for years. I mean, what did I say? This was episode 2060 or something. Go work out how many years that is. What is it? Seven years almost. I do it because there is learning in this for everybody. Yes, it's the loss of my daughter, tragic, but just replace that with the challenges that you're going on, and your challenge could be way more difficult than mine. I mean, I'm not living in an area where every day I have to be worried about, am I going to live tomorrow? Is my family going to be bombed? Am I going to be bombed? As whatever else is going on for you. It exists in many, many different ways, challenge. My point is just sharing how I deal with challenge. Now, the people will listen to this. Maybe you have your psychotherapist that would listen to this and say, oh, well, you shouldn't be talking about it, or you should handle it this way, or you're not dealing with things, or whatever. I'm dealing with things in a way that's right for me. I've spent a lot of time working on myself over many decades now, and I just share it so that maybe you can get inspired to take some action yourself. Maybe you can choose to not stay living where you are, immobilized, stuck, whatever, and find a way, no matter how painful it is, to focus on the positive side of what is challenging you. That's my message today. All right. Stay safe, everybody. Stay healthy. I'll let you know how tomorrow's meeting goes. It's tomorrow. What time is it? It's tomorrow morning sometime. So I'm about to go and plan my presentation right now. I'll let you know how the presentation goes. All right. See you tomorrow.